Okay, so the message is this. Grow in Christ this year. As you come into this new year, grow in Christ. And my aim is to stir up in you this morning a desire to grow for yourself and to give you some practical advice at the end as to how we might do that. But that is the message. Grow in Christ this year. Because that's what Peter says, and it's an imperative. That's what he says there. That's the, but grow. Grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this year. What did Jesus do after Christmas Day? He grew. He began growing. So today, the day after, he started growing. But he didn't just grow physically, did he? No, he grew spiritually as well. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew in wisdom. That's what he did. He didn't grow in his divinity. It's not like God was getting wiser as Jesus was getting wiser, but he grew in his humanity. Jesus is fully God and fully man. As God, he stayed the same. As man, he grew just like us. And I'll say it again. He grew spiritually as well as physically. To the capacity that his physical manhood was capable, he grew perfectly in proportion to that, so that he was always perfectly mature spiritually for his age. Now, children, this is an important note, and adults, age is not necessarily an indicator of growth. Now, sure, there might be much experience gathered. Sure, it's very common to find people who are older and wiser, but it is no guarantee. You may be old and not wise and spiritually a baby. There is worldly wisdom and there is godly wisdom. So get this, kids. The fear of the Lord, the fear of Yahweh, the fear of the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, that is the beginning of wisdom. That's true wisdom. And without that start, all other so-called wisdom, no matter how clever you are or how much life experience you have, is not true wisdom, no matter how much it appears to be so. Why? Because all of life is only right when it's lived in right relation and response to God. Nothing else counts as true wisdom. Now, get this. By the age of 12, Jesus, as he was growing, was in the temple or in the synagogue asking questions that were impressing the leaders of the day, because he was growing spiritually. He was walking close to his Father. Now, but if growth isn't automatic when you're, just because you're old, if growth starts young, it also doesn't stop when you get old either. So for the older folks amongst us, even 85-year-olds still need to grow spiritually in the Lord this coming year. Christians grow all the way until God takes us to be with him in glory where he finishes the work. So, if Jesus needed to grow, do we not also need to grow? Yes. Let's think about it one other way very quickly. It would be weird if we didn't grow. Living things grow. Plants grow. Children grow. And as Christians, we're connected to Jesus, who is life himself. If his life is in us by the Holy Spirit, then we will grow by that union. The idea of knowing Jesus and then not increasing in our knowledge and likeness of him all the way until we're taken to glory is not Christianity. That's not Christianity. If you are connected to Jesus, you will be growing because living things grow. So, an exhortation to growth. Let me ask you a question. Have any of us settled for a low bar of treading water until Christ returns or we die? Who among us has a vision for their life of growth in Christ this year that makes you excited? Paul ran hard after becoming more like Christ. I make it my aim. I seek Christ and to be conformed to him. Now, God is calling us when he calls us through Peter to grow. He's not calling us to do something that we aren't already doing in some way. Note this. You are already, almost surely, putting effort in somewhere in your life for some sort of growth. Whether it be growth in pleasure, growth in rest, growth in ease, growth in money, growth in a retirement, growth in school. You are putting in effort for some end and you are trying to grow something. And possibly yourself. God redirects you this morning and says, grow in Christ. That's an exhortation to growth. Now, before we even think about growth, as we now start thinking a bit more about it, if we think about growth as a chore, if that's what's sort of generated in our hearts already through what I've said this morning, we are going in the wrong direction from the beginning. Straight away, we need to recalibrate our thinking to see that growth is not calling us to a chore, it's calling us to a privilege. Growth in Christ is a privilege. Here's two reasons why. It's a privilege because of the object of our knowledge. Come on, think about this. The call to grow in Christ is a call to grow in our knowledge of the most excellent subject that there is. Right? Is it not? Is it not a joy to increase in the knowledge of his grace? Which means growing in our experience, right? Of his mercy, love, and his gift of eternal life to us. It means growing in knowledge of how complete and full his forgiveness is. It means growing in our knowledge of his supreme power, of his kindness, of his patience, of his compassion, of his wisdom, of God's manifold wisdom in his purpose in saving a people out of a lost humanity. How it's about growing and knowing how overflowing his heart is in love towards you. How liberating to know the freedom of all our sins erased, all our shame covered, the whole penalty paid, the good end of being with him in glorified bodies together forever, promised and secured through the resurrection from the dead. Is there a more excellent subject to give yourself to this year than to know the Lord Jesus better? That's why it's a privilege and not a chore. The second reason it's a privilege and not a chore is because of what is produced in us as we grow in grace and knowledge. Holiness is attractive. It is a faulty, sinful, skewed heart that thinks, and I meant that right, it's a skewed heart that thinks that holiness of becoming more like Christ is not attractive. There's something wrong with our hearts if we don't think it's attractive to become more like Christ. Growth in Christ, that privilege of what's produced in us, is the fruit. We get the fruit of His Spirit in our lives. How wonderful. Hey? The joy, the peace, the patience, is that not what everybody is longing for? Jesus says, it's in me. It's in me. As you grow in my grace and the knowledge of who I am, you get to know the most excellent subject, and the byproduct is the most excellent fruit begins to be produced in your life. It is a privilege to grow in Christ this year. Growth is about moving towards heaven now. Just think with me, what do we think heaven is going to be like if not unhindered vision and communion with God, knowing Him, the completion of our becoming like Jesus, and the perfecting of all our society and relationships? Right? If that's what the end is, will we not be seeking it now? Otherwise, what do we think we're waiting for at the end if it's not there as a desire in us now? So that's growth. Grow in Christ. It's a privilege, not a chore. Let's think now about what is included in growth. What are the aspects of growth? Well, growth is multidimensional and holistic. Or put another way, kids, it's not just about growing in one way or in one area of our lives. It's about growing in lots of ways in all areas of our lives. Let's explore some of the dimensions of growth and let's paint a picture for ourselves of what growth looks like and means. The first is growth in the mind, that cognitive element. Peter tells us in our verse that growth has a cognitive element. We grow in the knowledge of Christ. And Paul has the same concern in Romans chapter 12, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's important that we have right thinking about God. That takes effort, often reading or listening. It takes work with our minds because we need to grow in our knowledge of who God is and what He's done for us in Christ. Right thinking about God honors God. Right thinking about Christ increases our joy. Growing in knowledge is important, and we can't divorce right thinking from right counseling. We could say a number of things, but let's just think about this one. You can't divorce right thinking from right counseling. And why do I say that? Because we all counsel. So growing in our thinking is not just going to help you as you counsel yourself for your life, but as you counsel others. Does our counsel, in other words, the things that we say to the other person when they tell us stuff, align with reality? Just think about that. Does it line up with the real world that we're in? Does it present God as he really is? Does it present Christ as he really is? Does it present you as you really are? Are we speaking God's powerful truth, or are we giving poor counsel? We need to grow in our knowledge of Christ. Another dimension is grace. And we've already mentioned growing in grace of the knowledge of forgiveness, but that's not the only aspect of grace. Grace is also, in the Bible writers, power. Growth in grace is growth in power, and it's growth in the experience of his power at work in our lives. Paul can say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain, yet I worked harder than all the others. But what does he say then? But it was not I, but the grace of God at work in me. And Peter can say in his earlier letter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, at the end, this is the grace of God. But that's at the end of his letter when he's been exhorting the Christians to suffer well in the name of Christ. That's the grace of God. That's the power of God at work in you. So growth in grace and encouragement to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus is not just to grow in our knowledge of what he's done for us, but to grow in the experience of his power in our daily lives as we embrace his grace and act on his grace and live it out. Grow in that. And we need that power, like power to endure cheerfully when we're mistreated by others, or children, we need to his power. Like if our brother or sister does something that really irritates us or breaks something that we love or have made, we need power to forgive, power to serve, power to love. And we are invited to grow in our experience of Christ's power as we step out in faith-driven and faith-filled obedience to him. So growth is intellectual, growth is practical. But this whole letter of Peter is in some ways a letter about growth. So if you just, I don't know if you've got your Bibles open, but if you wanted to, you can flip back to chapter 1. Because although Peter ends this letter with an exhortation to growth, he started this letter in the same way. So in chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, listen to these dimensions of growth that Peter exhorts his readers to. He says in verse 5, "For this very reason, make every effort," it's work involved, "to add to your faith goodness," or virtue, or excellence. You say, it's not just about doing tasks well, but it's about doing all things well. Add to your faith dignity, honor, moral excellence. Then what does he say? Add to goodness, knowledge, which we've already spoken of. Verse 6, and to knowledge, self-control, which is a mastering of your desires and passions, which means you being the boss of what you do at all times, governed by Christ and by the glory of God. This is what he says. Look, make every effort to supplement your faith. Add to your faith. Grow in this way. Then he says to self-control, add steadfastness or perseverance, which is patient, joyful endurance of trials and steady hope in the promise and coming of Jesus. And to perseverance, godliness, reverence, piety. Maybe you could put it as joyful seriousness about God and his ways. Add to godliness brotherly kindness or brotherly affection. Not brotherly endurance, which is good, bear with one another, but pushing beyond that to a warmth of heart and a desire for your fellow Christian's good. Add to brotherly kindness, love. The commitment to do good to your fellow Christian, even when brotherly affection feels thin. Can you see that? See what Peter's exhorting us to? All these different dimensions. Why do I add all this and say all this? Because I want to enlarge our vision of what growth means. So don't just have a small, narrow vision. I want us to see, yes, there are areas in my life where I can press out into. There are more riches of Christ to discover and growth in me that is wonderful and beautiful to happen. I want us to see that. And we can even go further, because when we get practical about what Peter's talking about, we can take all of those virtues and we can apply those qualities to all these different areas of our life. Let's just think about some areas. So we can take all of those qualities and say, apply them to how we handle money, including our pocket money. How we use our words, both the tone and the content. How we use our time. How we relate to our spouse or our housemates or our friends or our children or our fellow church members or our brother or our sister. We can apply that to what our aims in life are. Are we seeking God's kingdom or our own kingdom? We can apply it to our attitude and behavior at school, at work. We can apply it to how we treat, feed, rest, and manage our body. Is it a temple of the Lord which we steward for God's glory? We can apply it to our relationship, to leisure. What do we do with our spare time? The point here is that growth is multidimensional and holistic. It's about all of Christ, for all of us, for all of life. That's what Peter calls us to when he says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a thumbnail sketch of what growth is. Now for two surprises as we take our turn around the final lap. Two surprises, and then we'll think just of a couple of ways that we can practically God's means that he gives us to grow. So here are the two surprises. The first surprise is that growth is a safety mechanism. That's coming from 2 Peter. In 1 Peter, in chapter 1, verse 10, Peter says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? If you do these things, you will never stumble. Peter's warning and protecting the Christians in this letter against false teaching and against false living. And one of the ways he thinks Christians can stay safe is by actively growing. Now, we've got to understand that we are all always going one way or the other. We just are. None of us is standing still. None of us is neutral. We are either going with Christ or we're drifting away. That's what's going to happen this year. Life will move forward. The clock will tick. The days will go on. And you will go one way or the other. And Peter says, growth in Christ is an important safety mechanism to keep you in Christ's love. It's just an extra blessing, isn't it? Now, the second surprise is that growth is individual and corporate. Peter doesn't speak about that in this letter, but it's very important to know that while growth is both about ourselves individually, it's also about us as a church. Now, perhaps some of you already spotted the individual focus already. Or did you not? That would be interesting to know. If you'd thought the whole time as I was talking, he's totally missed the corporate element. Or if not, does that just indicate perhaps how much we are focused on ourselves? If we hadn't spotted. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, this is now going to Paul, this is a different text that I was going to use for another talk. But as I got into Ephesians chapter 4, I was thinking, I can't teach that text about individual growth. It's a passage about growth, but that individual growth is not what Paul's talking about. I'll read it to you. He says, Paul says, as we speak the truth in love, Christians, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In that verse, what is growing and building itself up? Is it the individual Christian? No. He's talking about the whole body as each part does his work. As Peter says in his first letter, that we are living stones built up together as a spiritual house. Now here's the thing. Catch this. Growth literally cannot be done on its own, on your own. It cannot be done. Why? Because that is not what God is growing. God is not just growing you. God is growing a compound object. He's growing his church, of which you are a part. You cannot grow the thing that God is growing apart from connected, meaningful life in his church. As we build one another up in love, using our gifts, growing together so that Hope Church becomes an increasingly beautiful house, spiritual house, in which God's Spirit dwells. We won't have time to elaborate on that further, but that is a beautiful and challenging vision, because it can only happen by the grace and power of Jesus as we individually grow and press in together, and it will never happen if we stand apart. But in the mess, God will meet us. So, as we come to an end here, a little personal reflection for yourself. How are you growing? And how are you going to grow? Scripture tells us in multiple places to examine ourselves. So that's a fine and right thing to do. Healthy examination is about checking honestly, but not searching incessantly. Somehow got to have that healthy space where we can examine ourselves, but not become so intense that we're just caught up navel-gazing. Need to check ourselves. We need to check ourselves to know where do we need to grow. So just thinking about some practical ideas about growing, here are some ideas. Now, I throw them out and I say them as ideas because we can't all grow in every dimension all at once, and we're not all going to need to grow in all the same ways. We'll need to grow together, but we'll all need to grow differently. So I think the way that the Lord works is he chips away at us, he's patient, but as one part grows, the other parts do. So here are some ideas for how you could get practical this year. Now, what's important, before I throw this out, is that we must use, this is so critical, because I feel like I see this so regularly, both in myself and I see it in others, that we don't use God's means to achieve God's ends. What do I mean? We've got to use the tools that God has given us, the ways, the means that God has given us for growth, to get the outcomes and the end result that God has designed us for. We can't go to the world to look for its tools and then think that's going to get us to the ends that God's created for us. Because there are many things in this world that sound plausible and seem wise and, believe it or not, even have some power to effect change, but gospel change and gospel growth only come by God's means. A method of achieving self-control, for example, that results in a self not controlled for God's glory in response to God's grace and controlled by God's holy ends is not gospel growth. That's not gospel self-control. Many folks are self-controlled and they use lots of mechanisms to do it. This is just one example. Athletes are self-controlled, are they not? Right? Are all athletes spiritually mature and godly? No, they're not. They might be massively self-controlled, though. Because motivation matters. It's not just the outcome that's produced. Now, I just say that because we've got to use God's means to achieve God's ends. Okay. Here's some ideas as we close. God's Word. I know, it sounds like, you know, it's like a simple one, isn't it? We've got God's Word. But it's amazing how many Christians don't read their Bible. You've got a Bible. We've got our Bibles. We've got it there this year. You could read your Bible. I just think sometimes, you know, we can just pick it up and just read it. Just like start with 5 minutes. Don't pray, don't like over-spiritualize it and make it like super weird. I think if we just read it, we'll be amazed at what happens as we get to the end of this year. Just literally picking it up and just reading 5 minutes, just putting it down and walking off. You'll be amazed what God does. Peter says, look at how you don't have to turn there. At the beginning of this letter, he tells them to pay attention to God's word. He says, we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And look how he describes it. And you will do well to pay attention to it. Oh yeah? How? As to a light shining in a dark place. The world is a dark place. This is a light. We've been given a light. Do you read it? Do you read it? One practical way to do it, we're working our way through Ephesians. We're still in Ephesians as a church. You could just read Ephesians. Just read it and then just reread it and then and make notes on it, ask questions, just get it out and just keep reading it, just over and over and over again. And then when you're bored of reading it, just read it again. And when you think to yourself, I kind of already know what's there, just read it again. There'll be more and more and more and more and more and more and more there. Ask questions and again, just make more notes. Just keep reading Ephesians. You could just read Ephesians all year. Just stick with Ephesians. Just every day, just read something. Read another verse. I think that'd be a practical way. Another way, you could get a book, some book that would help you to grow in Christ, some topic perhaps that you feel like you'd like to learn or work on. You could look at the vice lists and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. So you could go to Galatians chapter 5 and you could look at all the different what the works of the flesh are. And you could look at what the fruit of the Spirit is, and you could then ask somebody, a friend or a partner or somebody that you trust, you could say, what do you think about my life in relation to these two lists here? Do you see any patterns on one side or habits on one side? Do you see growth in this other side? Where do you think I might need to grow? And then, don't forget, keep in step with the Spirit, which is how you grow. It's easy to fall back and, you know, be like, oh, we're going to do it by our own power. That's just another suggestion, right, as a way to think about how to get the practical. You could focus on prayer. Prayer would be both a means and an end. Prayer would both help to grow, and prayer is actually an end. So, you know, God has designed us for relationship with Him. And last one I'll give is church life. So if we've seen this morning that growth is corporate, it could be maybe that thinking about how you're involved in the life of our church is an area where you could grow as well. Last thing I'm going to say. Remember, the vision is Christ. The vision is Christ. Growing grace and the knowledge of Christ. Holiness is glorious. God is for you and with you. God is for you and with you in this. He's patient. He's gentle. He's by your side. And he's cheering you on. Effort is grace powered. So, let's grow together this year. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we submit our lives to you. Be with us, bless us, help us. Lead us in the path of life, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.